All right, guys, welcome back to Dallas Cyclone Fanatic Podcast here today. Of course, we are courtesy of the Iowa Clinic and the Iowa Clinic Men's Center, who's sponsoring our Big 12 tournament. Not Big 12 tournament. It's Big 12 football media days. But they sponsor the Big 12 tournament in March as well. Good friends at the Iowa Clinic Men's Center. Be a man. Go to the doctor. Okay, we're just doing something really quick here in between sessions. We have a ton of content coming your way. I actually just made my notes. I've got like seven pieces I want to write, and we're going to, after we record this, go and interview the Cyclones and do that whole sort of thing. But I've got Jay Jordan here with me. Iowa State released its depth chart earlier this morning. Jay, I thought that it was super basic. It's everything I've always dreamed of an Iowa State depth chart to be in August or in July. Very boring. Not a lot of surprises. Exactly what we thought it would be. And that's good for a program, right?
It is. Anytime you can have, well, it indicates stability.
Yeah.
So one of the things you don't associate it with Iowa State football is stability at most of the ranks. That's one of the things that Matt Campbell has brought. And what it also represents is the talent available on the roster. When you see those things jumping around, it can be great if you have one or two surprises with a true freshman who's something or transfer that's something that you thought they weren't. But the interesting thing was that the transfers fit in and down the line or positions, meaning they're not coming in as the savior at any position. They're coming in as depth and strength. That's a big deal.
Yeah, the two of the ones that kind of stood out to me, the Bickham from Rice, yeah. I was a little surprised he was listed as a or with Braxton Lewis. Braxton's been really good. And then on the offensive side of the ball, I mean, I look at Petway is a guy who I feel like will probably end up being that starting wide receiver. He's got Anor beside him. And then Matt Campbell, really, one thing we've learned over the years with him here in Dallas is if he singles a guy out, that guy usually produces to some extent. And Darren Wilson was the JUCO wide receiver who he – that was the biggest note I took from – the 15 minutes I've had with Matt Campbell so far today was to keep an eye on him. So what do you think about those three gentlemen specifically?
Well, Bickham is interesting to me. He's obviously taking a major step up from in a level of competition. Doesn't mean he can't play. He's experienced, but he's in with an experienced group of guys. He's a depth guy. We rotate safeties fairly often throughout a game. You know, the other interesting thing at safety is you've got Bowens and Azuna listed on the depth chart at safety. Both of them came in as corners.
Yeah.
And there was at least some expectation on my part a couple years ago that those two outside corners replacing Peavy and Payne would be Azuna and Bowens. And instead, they've rotated and found a spot for him to create depth at the safety position. So that's a good deal. With the wide receivers, I took the same note. I was eavesdropping on that conversation and took note of his comment regarding Wilson, which was that he may be the fastest player on the team. And that type of speed, that's been one of my questions. Milton's a fast guy, but do we have a game field stretcher? And the fact that he mentioned him tells me that they think Wilson could be that field stretcher if he develops. Petway's a solid guy. He's fast too, but he's much more of a physical inside receiver. But we'll see. If both of those guys have trouble getting on the field, it's only because the guys who are there and the younger guys on that depth chart are good.
Yeah.
And that's what it does, is it sets a bar that we know what these guys are. And if our guys that we already have are better and those guys have trouble getting there, then that puts Iowa State in a good position.
Well, it's a lot of like I had, and most people listening to this probably heard my conversation with Joel Klatt last night. It's the middle of the roster. And, I mean, this is another example of it. Instead of Petway coming in and having to be the guy, he comes in and you hope he earns his right to be the guy because the middle of the roster is just so much better than it has been, even in recent years.
That's exactly right. I've talked about it in several of my articles, either explicitly or by implication, that what Coach Campbell has built. And let me dovetail this into some of his press release or presser comments. He talked about the new coaches in the league and their abilities to build sustainable models. He called it built to last. And that's what he's done here. He's taken a roster and constructed it to last both during his tenure and beyond. And yes, the middle of the roster depth allows you to reload instead of rebuild. And I would say we're in the infancy of that, but barring significant attrition, which Matt Campbell has not experienced so far, then it's reasonable to assume that Iowa State has the ability to reload talent-wise as opposed to rebuild.
What have your it has been interesting and fun to watch you mingle with the media crowd here this week. And what has anything else stood out to you just about this whole process, how Campbell is in this? You've been around Matt Campbell, but not really in this setting. And this can get to be really dry. Media, everybody always is like, oh, I'd love to watch the game in a press box. No, you wouldn't. It's horrible. It's so dry. It's so petty sometimes. I guess I'm just curious what your thoughts on this experience have been.
I mean, you're in the world of ideas. You're in the world of intellectual property, asking questions, seeking opinions that others will be interested in taking. I take it for granted that I have an opinion. It's mine. It's unique to my experience. And so I'm not in the day-to-day grind like some of the other guys we see around here are. I've gained a new respect for the amount of work that they put in. That's not an easy thing to do. I don't know that there's specific enmity like sometimes on the other side of the podium you feel like there is from the media. And it's more about each party doing their own job. Matt Campbell was impressive. He was a pro, which I think anybody who's been around him and watched Iowa State knows that to be the case. And being able to compare and contrast each on parallel ground has made him stand out more to me than maybe what he had in the past, just from a professional development level. And then some of the things, you know, we'll probably handle or you'll handle soon with regard to the way the rest of the league and some of the media members perceive him makes proud to be a Cyclone.
I don't want to name names because it's just I don't know him that well and it's not professional to do so, but there's been a couple guys come up here this weekend, and I don't know, they put off like almost like a little man syndrome vibe where they're like the chihuahua that's always barking trying to get the attention. There's a couple guys that come to mind specifically, and I don't know, Campbell just, he never was that guy. He was pretty dry, though, to start. He didn't say much. He wasn't that interesting. He's evolved into quite the speaker here in this conference, though. I mean, I feel like when Matt's up there, it's almost like a Gary Patterson type where he has everybody's attention. Did you get that vibe from him? And I'll say that this is the first year I've picked up on that.
Okay. And that's what I'm talking about when I say he's a pro. Now, I wasn't here last year, being familiar with that. This is what I think has happened evolution-wise, and this is absolute rank speculation on my part. But what has happened is you had a guy, he's young, right, when he first comes. He's got a program, and he's got an idea. It's worked at a smaller era or arena. Does it work here? Does it work on this stage?
Which is literally like the biggest stadium in America.
Right. Does it? Yeah, exactly.
I mean, physically, like it is.
Right. It's huge. It's fancy. We got big name teams. We got blue bloods. If you do what you think you can do, he spoke today about they were focused instead of on outside expectations, they were focused on the how and operating in the margins. And he has proven his model right? So we talk about starting businesses or things like that. And part of what you have to do that is build a foundation by proving your model, proving it can and does have success. That's what Matt Campbell's done. From that, he has gained the confidence in his model. And I think that's the transformation. It's like when you first start riding a bike, you wobble all over the place. Or maybe you're, you know, super talented like me and you can just cruise. No, that was a joke.
Yeah.
But you're wobbly. And then the next thing you know, you're riding a wheelie and you're, you know, able to jump a ramp. Once you've done it 100 times or done it enough to where you gain the confidence that you can jump on that bike and go. I don't think it's any different here. I think in the coaching profession, as you begin to make your bones, so to speak, you start to gain that confidence, and then it goes one of two ways, right?
Yeah.
It goes to exactly what you just said, which is that type of attitude that's off-putting, or a look-at-me attitude, or it goes to my model works, and what's key to my model is my consistency and my humility. And that's one of the things that I've been very impressed with Matt Campbell, is there's an underlying humility to what he does, and there's a more concrete belief today than there was 4 years ago.
I also think, too, one fascinating part of the league this year is 40% of the coaches are new. And I think three of the four, and I'm excluding Les Miles from the list because he comes from LSU and he's won a national title. The other three have come from smaller levels of football, and they're going into geographically challenged places that aren't necessarily thought of as great jobs.
Right.
Tech is not been the same since Mike Leach left. Kansas State has literally never won with anybody coaching not named Bill Snyder. And West Virginia is a geographical outlier in this conference that I still think is at a major disadvantage compared to the rest. So, like, you've got a lot of media here who are propping up Matt Campbell to be, like, the blueprint on how these guys can make it work. Have you picked up on that?
That was one of my notes I've got written down here. So, you know, us sitting here listening to it got the same impression from the questions that were there. The aura of the questions thrown at Matt Campbell were an admiration and a blueprint author of how do you do this. Interesting thing is he said he knows those three guys. We know that because we've talked to at least one, and the other two we know that he knows as well. He made reference to their abilities to do the same thing that he's done and that they've already done it at other places. Kleiman's got two or three national championships.
Three, I believe.
Yeah. Brown takes Troy and redefines Troy football.
Yeah.
I mean, Troy. I didn't know there was a university called Troy until he was there. And by the way, he was pretty impressive today, I thought. And the same with Wells. Yeah, geographically, all with the exact same characteristics as the Iowa State program. So it's kind of does a good coach. You know, the interesting thing, though, is West Virginia, historically, if you look back through their historical records, I mean, that's an 8, 9, 10-win program on a consistent basis. Same with Kansas State, obviously, during the Snyder era, which went on and on and on. Tech was that under Mike Leach. You can win if you get the right coach in those places,
no question.
Doing the right things, you can win there, which is what Matt Campbell's proven at Iowa State. It's going to make for a very competitive league. I mean, incredibly compelling and competitive over the next 4 to 5 years.
Well, earlier today, and I want to play this next for our audience, you had a chance to catch up with the three Cyclones that are here, Jaquan Bailey, Josh Kniffel, and Marcel Spears, and you asked him some spirited questions, I would put it that way. And I want to play that for our audience, but real quick, I'll let you kind of preview it and how much fun you have with these guys.
We had some fun and did a would you rather. We were able to catch them before they were beaten down, so they were willing to engage. Three good young men, well-spoken, and I think gave thoughtful answers to both the silly and serious football questions.
All right, we'll play those for you next. It's Jay. First thing, he hammered out these questions with the three Cyclones that are here in attendance.
I'm here with Josh Kniffel and Marcel Spears. two outstanding Cyclones. I had some interesting questions I wanted to ask them. You guys can just both answer freely. Would you rather, when an alien makes first contact, would you rather him be organic, human, or robotic?
Organic?
I think I'd say organic.
Yeah, you'd rather be organic? Why would you say
so
that?
So, like, though? Terminator or Alien or Predator?
Maybe, like, if they're a robot, they're going to be hard to, like, get rid of.
Yeah.
You know, and, like, they can, like, hack our systems and stuff.
Yeah.
Where I feel like they're kind of more of, like, a flesh and blood kind of thing, you know?
Yeah, so easier
to get rid of.
But I feel like if they're like us, then they can, like,
blend in.
Yeah, like blend in type deal. We won't notice them, you feel me? But if it's a clear robot, like, we know, like, that's not a part of us. I don't know. I think I'd have to say, like, the Terminator type deal.
Yeah. Okay. Well, here's another would you rather. Would you rather every shirt you wear be a little bit itchy or only have a single ply of toilet paper available for the rest of your life?
I'll go single ply because I don't like the itch. Like, I have a real bad problem.
And
I
know how to... I'm single ply toilet paper.
I know how
that's
to...
It. That's it. That's all you get.
Single ply.
You only get... No. You get one square.
Yeah, one square.
Can't spare a square.
Oh,
you get one square.
It's one square?
One I'm square itching. Or an itchy shirt.
Oh, yeah, I'll itch. I didn't know it was one square.
Yeah, I said it wrong.
No.
Okay, football question. What have you guys been working on technique-wise? What's been important to you to improve on this offseason? What have you been concentrating on from a technique perspective? Different positions. Marcel wants to be a hammer. Josh wants to get in good sumo position and drive and finish.
I'd say with me, it'd probably be just hands and feet. Just continue to get better at that, you know.
Like the coordination of hands and feet?
Yeah, just.
Get in here, man. I'm Jay Jordan.
Jaquan.
I'd say, yeah,
pass
just
rusher.
Like, just being more, like precise with it.
Okay.
Know? It's like quicker, faster, stronger, all that stuff that comes with, you know, good hands and feet.
What about you, Marcel?
I think that where I want to improve this year is probably in the film room. I've been trying to break down more film, trying to be just a better steward of the game.
Absolutely. What about you, Jaquan? The question is, what technique have you been working on in this offseason, concentrating to improve them?
Transitioning from just to play action. I struggled a lot last year. I sucked at it.
So when you talk about transition, you mean switching from pass rush to chase and pursue or contain?
No, sir. So I'm switching from it feels and looks like a run play, but it's truly a
so influence fast. Option type plays.
Yes, sir.
Getting better at recognition.
Yes, sir.
Which is film room, right?
Yes, sir.
For all of you. What role does accountability to each other as teammates, to your coaches, play in Iowa State football? And how does that improve or set the stage for your success?
That's accountability with our team is everything. If you can't be held accountable, trusted, you can't play. And, you know, you should want to be trusted by your teammates and your coaches just because the simple fact that you're going to be going in war with them, like, you know, every weekend, every day basically in practice. So you want that accountability to know that I can trust on this guy next to me and he can trust me as well.
Great answers, guys. I appreciate it.